Today's episode of I'm Reviewing Here is brought to you by QAnon. This is a Nervous Chuckles production.
Hey! I'm Reviewing Here!
Episode 100! What time is it? Episode 100 of I'm Reviewing Here! Oh, that was a good beat. Oh! Hi everybody, welcome to episode 100 of I'm Reviewing Here! That never is not annoying, but you know, it's my job to annoy you. So anyway, yes, hi everybody, welcome to another episode of I'm Reviewing Here, a podcast where I, Matthew Bussey, watch and review science, sounds, top greatest movies of all time. Episode 100. Holy shitballs. Wow. Isn't it kind of weird to think, like, wow, I've spoken 100 times? How many times do you think you've spoken your entire life? How many words in your life have you spoken? If you are 95 years old, and there was a machine that could determine how many words you've spoken, what do you think the number would be? It'd have to be a, I don't know, like a sextillion. Isn't that like it actually, doesn't that actually exist? Oh, whatever. I don't do well at math. Anyway, yes, I hope that you're all doing really, really well. I am recording this on Memorial Day weekend, and it's been a absolutely tragic freaking weekend. This might actually be one of the saddest Memorial Day weekends of my life, even sadder than the Memorial Day of 2020. I mean, I don't really do anything during Memorial Day because I'm single and all my friends are married and have kids, so they all always flock to the beach and everything. But yeah, my AC in my apartment is leaking through my ceiling, so I can't use it. So it's just been dripping all over the goddamn floor for all week, and I can't get an HVAC person to come because it's Memorial Day weekend, so they're probably at the beach. And what else happened? Oh, yesterday I went into my parents' pool, which apparently I shouldn't have done because it was really dirty. And as soon as I got out, my right ear was clogged. I put eardrops in. It went away. Woke up the next morning. It was back. Clogged. So I had to go to the Minute Clinic today. And she literally said, I can't even look into your ears. I can't see anything. What's your problem? I don't know. I wear headphones a lot. Kill me then. I don't know. I'm wearing headphones right now. Oh, crap. This is a really bad idea. Anyway, you know what? It's just a holiday. Who gives a shit? I mean, it's an important holiday. I'm sorry. Not the holiday. The holiday weekend, I mean. Who gives a shit about the beaches? Why am I cursing so much? I don't know. I'm really excited. Okay, so today's movie. Let's get into it. Today's movie. Whew. Now, this movie is not This was not up next after the last movie, which I believe was Orlando. This movie that I'm going to talk about today was actually from way earlier in the list. Last year, though, I could not find the movie. It was not available to stream anywhere. It was not on the Criterion Channel, shockingly. And I found it again. And, you know, this is a movie that I've always wanted to see. Well, like since last year, that is, because it's in black and white and it looked artsy, but like kind of like cool artsy. You know, I'm not always into artsy fartsy indie films, but this one looked like it had it, you know, had the goods. It just looked good. I just really wanted to see it. So this movie, and also this may, I'm going to play around with this. If I missed any films earlier in the list, then I may go back, and if they're available, of course, now I can go back and watch them, but you know, we'll see how it is. We'll play it by ear. Today's movie is called Werkmeister Harmonies.
Látod mennyi baj csinálsz?
Odakint, çıkış. Bit gelişen. Benim bütün günler şahıva. Çemoş çekişim.
Erzik mi? Rangı da öyle meybol tozat.
Oh, that score is so good. That score is so haunting. The score in this movie was by a gentleman named, oh, I'm going to butcher this, Mihaly Vig, V-I-G, but the I has that little cool accent. It's like, it's like paint. Oh my goodness me. Okay, so Werkmeister harmonies. Also, it's Werkmeister. It's not Werkmeister. It's German. So that word is German. But this is not a German film. This is a Hungarian film. I love Budapest. I've been to Budapest once. Go there before you die. It's so cool there. Really historical. Great food. Great people. Great. And their money is really cool. It's called the forint. F-O-R-I-N-T. I don't have any left though. Werkmeister harmonies. Why did I want to watch this? Well, like I said, it looked pretty cool. It looked artsy. There's this famous image from the film of this guy looking, it's a close-up of a guy looking into the eye of a whale. Now, I thought it was a real whale. It turns out that it's not a real whale because I'm very stupid. But no, it's not real. This movie, oh boy. Do I regret watching this movie? Do I regret fixing the order and screwing, messing up the order and screwing things up a little bit while going through this list of movies? No, I don't care about that. Do I regret watching it? No, I'm glad I watched it. Did I enjoy this movie? No, I gotta be honest with you. No. I really, really, really friggin' struggled with this movie. And I hate saying that because it's so haunting and beautifully done. And yes, it is an art film. Nothing wrong with art films. Like I said, art films, they're not for everybody. Some art films I really understand. Some art films I find just extremely slow and pretentious and I can't get through them. But, you know, film critics, film historians, film curators, they love them and eat them up most of the time. Yeah, this film just wasn't for me. So it's 2000. It came out in 2000. It was co-written and directed by this very famous director named Bellatar. Bellatar, he did another movie that is also on this list. That's also extremely long, called, I don't know if I'm saying it right, Satan Tango, I think is how you say it. There's a lot of accents in that too. He did a movie called The Turin Horse that was shown at the Philly Film Festival. Oh, geez, don't ask me when. Was that actually 13 years ago? F me. Yeah, but Werkmeister Harmonies. Yeah, this was based on a book called The Melancholy of Resistance by Laszlo Krajnahorkai. And Bellatar, he co-directed this with Agnes Hranitsky. And he co-wrote the movie with the author of The Melancholy of Resistance. I'm getting this all messed up in bad order. I'm sorry. It's my ears. It's the earwax in my ears. Yes. Laszlo. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. It's a movie by Bellatar. Bellatar is a very famous artsy director. Yes. Satan Tango. Every film critic loves that movie. It's like 5 hours long. And apparently, like this movie, there's not really a plot. Apparently, like this movie, it's going to be very, very slow. Apparently, like this movie, it's not going to be for everybody. I don't want to say that I hated Werkmeister Harmonies, but I'm still thinking about it. I am. I'm going to right off the bat say, yes, this is a, I know I keep saying it, haunting. Can you hear that? I'm sorry. Haunting. This is a very hauntingly made, artsy, art housey movie. This is a movie that you see if you like are like aroused by films so much. You know, I love movies, but I'm not that far with that now. So it's a hard one. You're going to be scratching your head unless you're really good at interpreting movies on the first watch, but you're going to be scratching your head so much that your nails are going to insert themselves into your brain with this film. That's what happened to me. And I got so disappointed because I wanted to like it. I wanted to enjoy it. But you know what? Artsy films, they don't need to be enjoyable. So that's the thing about this. You know, I think overall, and I know I'm kind of skipping ahead, I would recommend this movie, but I just want to warn you that beware.
Plots and ups.
I was also very surprised, I need to say, that this movie came out in 2000. I thought this movie came out like in the 80s, and the way it's shot, it just has a very old-fashioned kind of look to it, you know. The cinematography too, there's a whole bunch of people here that I'm not going to name who did it, but yeah, every shot in this film is like a painting. Bellatar is a huge cinematic artist. So anyway, Werkmeister Hermes, let's get into it. Okay, in an unnamed, desolate, and isolated small town in Hungary during a winter season in recent times, Janos Valuska, a young newspaper delivery man, conducts a performance with drunken bar patrons about the total eclipse of the sun. Turn around, Brett. Just kidding. Which disturbs, then silences the animals. It finishes with the grand return of the warm sunlight. This is a really cool scene, I'm not going to lie. Janos Valuska is played by this actor named... I don't know. Lars Rudolph. And also, a lot of this movie is dubbed, and that drove me up a freaking wall, but we'll wait for that. Some of it's dubbed, some of it's not. It just annoyed the crap out of me. Janos is devoted to his uncle, quote-unquote, I can never say this name, Georgi Ester, a composer and musicologist. Hungarian is a very hard language, I'm not going to lie. Why would I lie about that? Okay. He's a composer and musicologist who's like a father to him. He records his observations about the imperfection and compromise of musical scale as defined by Andreas Werkmeister. Georgi proposes changes to the natural scale to make its harmonies more natural. Time out. I gotta figure out this. Hold on. I just Googled how to pronounce that word, and it is like... Hungarians, you guys are incredible. How do you talk this way? It's like Jörg. Jörg. Yeah, so it's not Georgi. I'm really, really sorry. For any Hungarians who are listening to me, please don't kill me. I'm sorry. Yes. Jörg is how you say it. So yes, where was I? Janos goes to the post office to pick up his newspapers for delivery. The workers are unsettled by the ominous signs of the circus's arrival and the cloud that settles over each town it visits. So already this is like, you have no idea what the hell you're watching. Is this like a fantasy? What is the circus? Why is everybody so distraught and worried and on edge about the circus? Are they like killers? Like, what is this? So it's a very weird movie. You don't even know where the hell this is too. What town in Hungary? That's the point of the movie, you know, that it's not really about setting it. This does not at all follow a traditional plot of any kind of film. So, quote, circus built around a huge stuffed smelly whale and its star performer, who's known as the Prince, who is never seen, come to town in the night. Janos sees that, I also may not be pronouncing that right, I'm not going to check it again. Jay sees them, or we'll call him Jay, sees them arrive and philosophizes about God and the whale. So yes, it's all about this whale. Everybody is so perplexed and astounded by this huge, giant fake whale. Jörg's estranged wife, Tunde, tries to leverage her political and social status by giving Jörg a list of names to recruit for the, quote, clean up the town movement. With the blessing, there's a lot of quotes in this description, with the blessing of the police chief, and demands that Jörg become chairman of the movement, or else she will move back in with him that very evening. She sends her suitcase ahead of her with Jörg's struggling cobbler brother, Uncle Lajos takes, oh my god, this is a bad episode, I'm sorry, takes the list and passes it on to the agitated crowd, and it's been a while since I watched this, passes it on to the agitated crowd in the town square who are unhappy with the failing public services. Janos is accosted by a thug in front of the open truck housing the whale. Tunde sleeps with a drunk, gun-toting police chief. A lot happens. A lot is happening here. Are you confused? Good, because I was confused too. Essentially, all you really need to know is that there was an order in this town, and now there is a disorder. Okay? Plain and simple. Close the book. That's all you really need to know. The presence of the whale and the prince stir up the crowd. Janos overhears the circus master losing control of his faceless prince, who speaks in Slovakian through a translator of Revolutions and Ruins. The circus master is afraid of consequences and disowns him. The prince, now free, inflames the mob, who, holding clubs, march, then run into a hospital, drag inmates out of their beds, and beat them. This was a really well-done scene, but very intense. When the rioters finally find a helpless old naked patient who was all skin and bones, they see in him, their impotent, sad, and powerless selves and withdraw silently. That was a really moving sequence, I'm not going to lie. Why do I keep saying I'm not going to lie? Jesus Christ. After the riot, Janosz comes across the diary of a rioter. It explains that the rioters did not know what they were angry with, so they were angry at everything. Then it recounts the mob's horrendous rape of two post office girls. Ugh, yeah, this movie gets dark out of nowhere. On his way home, I'm not going to lie, just kidding. On his way home, he witnesses from a distance a meeting between Tunda and a military officer. They depart together on a military vehicle to reclaim the town, accompanied by soldiers and a tank. Janosz then comes across the body of Lajos, who was killed in the riot. Janosz is told by Lajos' wife to leave for his own safety, as his name was on a list held by the rioters. Janosz runs away on the railroad tracks, but is intercepted by a helicopter. He finds himself committed to a mental institution with cage beds, a tool of the time for dealing with political dissidents. When Jorg visits him, Janosz simply stares into the blank space and does not respond to Jorg, who recounts to Janosz what has happened since the riot. Jorg has been evicted from their house but gets to live in a shed in the garden, whilst his wife, Tunda, with her new status as a collaborator, now occupies the big house with a police chief. Jorg tells Janosz in the ward that, if he is released from the mental institution, they can live contentedly together in the shed with his piano. Jorg also mentions that he has retuned the piano so that is now, like any other, a personal capitulation, apparently abandoning any present hopes of reform. Janosz just stares into the blank space. So he's like comatose, basically, at this point. It's The film ends with Jorg walking through the town square and looking directly into the eye of the abandoned whale, then walking away and looking back at the now sad and disheveled whale and the, quote, circus destroyed by the rioters the night before. The whale's rotting carcass is slowly enveloped by the thickening fog. The end.
De Hagelmeier úr, ennek még nincs vége.
So, Werkmeister Harmonies is essentially a movie with a lot of shots. Very, very long duration shots. I'm talking like, you know, you see two characters walking together side by side, not talking. And, you know, you see them in frame walking further away from the camera, and they walk and walk and walk, and then they both go off in different directions. And you expect, you know, like in any movie, you would expect that scene to cut and go to the next shot, but it doesn't. The camera just stays there, and you just watch the characters go farther and farther and farther away. Now, for a lot of people, you're gonna, yes, even I kind of a little bit too. What is the point of the really, really long shots? Well, I think Tarr, the director, you know, again, he's a director. It's his art project. You know, it's his baby. Every shot in this film has a purpose. But what is... sorry, there's a lot of questions in this episode. What is the episode? What is this movie really, really, truly about? Okay, I'm not going to lie. Oh, I said it again. God damn it. When I first watched this movie, I had no idea what the hell I was watching. When I Googled, you know, Werkmeister Harmonies interpretation and what does it mean and what's it all about and what does it all signify? I said this already, but this is a movie about disorder in a community, you know? Now, I read some critics, some film historians that said that, you know, this movie really is kind of like an allegory for like communist Hungary and was communism in Hungary? No, I'm thinking of the Czech Republic. What am I thinking of? Just the government, you know, bad government in Hungary, that some people interpret it all as that, you know, because in this film, the circus kind of represents the you know, like the villain coming in, and then everybody gets really angry in town, and there's disorder. There's just disorder galore in it, you know? Everybody panics. And I think it's also a movie about, I think I can kind of see right now, and I'm going to try and word this as PC as possible, but, you know, protesting is a big theme in this film. And it's also, you know, I have nothing against protests, peaceful protests, of course, but, you know, we're living in a world right now where protests are getting nasty. I think we can all agree with that. They're getting really, it's, you know, you can thank social media and TikTok for this. Anybody with a phone, you know, yeah, they like to go, a lot of them, some of them know what they're talking about and know what they're protesting, but a lot of them don't know what they're protesting. And in this film, I think Tar really shines a light on that. You know, that hospital scene says it all. Those people are beating these inmates, and then when they see like the skeletal, emaciated, naked guy, they pause and they go, "What the heck are we doing? This isn't really cool. We got to stop this," you know. And they leave. And I feel like, you know, it is kind of one of those examples of, well, you know, there is humanity in everybody. You know, I guess not everybody is different, but there's not one way to interpret this film. There's not one way at all, and it's just challenging. It's a challenging film. Slow movies are challenging. Movies like this, you have to completely shut everything off in your head. Everything in your head. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't think about your week at work. Don't think about, oh, I got to cut my nails right now. Don't think about, oh, I have BO. Don't think about, oh, what am I going to make for dinner tonight? Nope. You have to be tied to a chair, tape over your forehead against the chair, and you cannot look away. That is what this movie is. And there have been a lot of movies I've reviewed that are just like that. Now, where's the fun in watching a movie like that? Exactly. This isn't a fun movie. It's not. I didn't like it. I'm not going to lie. Oh my God! I should literally zap myself every time I say that. But yeah, that should just be the name of this episode. And Jürg, it's a challenging movie. It's a challenging movie. It's a challenging movie. It's a challenging movie. You may not like it. You may be absolutely amazed by it. People love this movie. This movie, you know, this was shown in Philadelphia just a few months ago. I did not see it, obviously, there. But, you know, Tar is absolutely a gifted filmmaker. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And I think every shot in this movie I wanted to eat up along with the music. But no, it's a movie I don't think I could watch again. I'm not gonna lie. I'm just kidding. I didn't say it. I was just kidding. BTS Secrets and Scandals. Not really a whole ton. I mean, yeah, it's kind of boring. Yeah, not really a lot. So this movie, fun little trivia, it only has 39 tracking shots, and it's a long-ass movie. It's like over 2.5 hours long. 39 shots, that's insane. Another cool little trivia, it was made with 6 cameramen, 1 American, 2 Hungarians, 2 Germans, and 1 Frenchman. That's very nice. It's a good little melting pot. I love that. I love when different cultures, different nationalities meet. It's going to be my next podcast. It's going to be called, I don't know, what was that Disney movie? The Color of Friendship? Yeah, it's going to be called that. During the shooting, the temperature dropped to negative 15 degrees Celsius, which is 5 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, that's insane. You would have to pay me $5 million in one check to have me act in that temperature. Are you goddamn kidding me? 5 Fahrenheit? How does the earth even get that cold? I almost just said hot. Although never directly stated in the movie which year it is, most probably it is post-1991, as one guy in the marching crowd in that one scene is holding a shopping bag by Spar, S-P-A-R, and this retailer started to operate in Hungary in 1992. Yeah, I guess you can imagine that. But you know, that is one thing that I did like about the movie. I liked how two things. You don't know what town it is, and you don't know the time period. You know, I think that definitely leads to the argument that Tar is intentionally making a movie where that doesn't matter. You know, the setting and everything doesn't matter. This is a movie where the story could impact any community, anywhere, you know? It's a realistic film. I even found a nightmare. What am I talking about? It was a Freudian slip. I found a quote that Tar said that pretty much sums up exactly how, why this movie is so slow and doesn't really have a story. He said, I despise stories as they mislead people into believing that something has happened. In fact, nothing really happens as we flee from one condition to another. All that remains is time. This is probably the only thing that's still genuine. Time itself. The years, days, hours, minutes, and seconds. Yes, indeed. Time is unfortunately very slow.
The best moment.
I would have to say, any scene with the music I thought was great, but probably the protest scene, you know, when they raid the hospital. There is a really amazing shot where, yeah, they're all walking to the hospital and it's all one shot. And there's like hundreds of them watching, walking, you know, and it's insane. It's insane, you know, the amount of extras they got in that scene. Yeah, very chilling scene, very effective.
Mais est-ce que je suis d'accord avec les critiques de ce film?
Oh, I forgot to put the fan on and I'm sweating to death right now. God damn this heat. What do the critics think? Do I agree with the critics? Well, let's see. Tom Dawson of... Oh, like Jack Dawson, Titanic. Great movie. Tom Dawson, except for the dialogue. Tom Dawson of BBC.com said, Werkmeister Harmonies exerts a peculiarly... Wow. Powerful spell. Peculiarly powerful spell. Yes, it is... peculiarly powerful film in terms of the mood. Yes, absolutely. I do agree with that. Jonathan Rosenbaum of Chicago Reader said, a chilling, mesmerizing, intense account of ethnic cleansing in spirit, if not in letter, from Hungarian master Bela Tarr. Ethnic cleansing. Wow. I don't really see it that way. No, that I didn't really see it that way. I think my other issue with the film is I didn't really understand why everybody was so terrified of the circus people. Why are they so considered to be so awful and evil? I was lost. Ed Gonzalez of Slant Magazine said, Bela Tarr's precise yet effortless command for the long take is so transcendent it suggests the presence of God. That is a little interesting. I think I could see that. I guess maybe one of the purposes of the really long shots is that it's like, you know, the quote Tar said about time. Time doesn't cut like you see in a movie, you know? Time is, what's the word? Effervescent? No. Never ending. Finite. No, not finite. The opposite of finite. It's not limited. It is unlimited. Likes and subscribes. Just kidding. I think... Another, you know, interesting little symbol, metaphor, whatever, in the film that I've read about was that, you know, the whale, maybe the whale is meant to be a metaphor for God, you know? Because let's think about it. People have done this in movies where, you know, if there's supposed to be a God, God doesn't really do anything, you know? God just sort of sits around and watches as madness and mayhem, you know, take over, you know, pervade the town or the setting of the film. And in this case, what does the whale do? Nothing. The whale's just in that little truck, like, ooh, just watching everything. And at the very end, after all this crap happened, the whale still doesn't do anything. So maybe the whale is God. Yeah. Yeah. If there is a God, God is absolutely a whale, too. A whale or like a tiger. Oh, that'd be hot. Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times loved the movie. He said, Bela Tarr's style seems to be an attempt to regard his characters with great intensity and respect, to observe them without jostling them, to follow unobtrusively as they move through their worlds, which look so ordinary and are so awesome like ours. Yeah, you see, Ebert is really into films like this. This movie almost kind of has like a Terrence Malick-y feel where... Tarr just lets his camera get really deep into these characters and lets us kind of try to interpret them. I think that's what Ebert meant. Kevin Thomas of Los Angeles Times said, as wearying as the film becomes in its long, bleak sequences, its uniquely cinematic and emotion-charged experience makes the effort worthwhile. Worthwhile, I guess, but I don't think I can watch it again.
Is it really one of the best movies of all time?
No, but it's got some of the best cinematography in a film of all time. I'm serious. It does. It does. Yeah. I also think that this movie is a wake-up call that we should all be filming movies, more movies in black and white. Seriously, people are so like, oh, no, it's too old school. No, it's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Some of my favorite movies are in black and white. I'm just one person. I know a lot of people, you know, disagree with me when I say this. But no, I just don't think it's one of the best movies. I think, in my opinion, a movie can be artsy, but it needs to really not be so artsy to the point that it's not watchable. You know, I think a great movie, it needs to be watchable in some sense. A lot of people completely would, you know, like decapitate me if they heard me say that. Well, if you are listening, please don't decapitate me. I'm still too young. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. You know, I'm glad I watched this movie. I am going to be very frightened to watch Satan Tango, I think is how you say it. You know, Tar's other more famous movie. Also, because that's like 5 hours long. Fuck, I think it's actually 441 minutes. How long is that? I don't know. But yeah, no. Okay, long answer, yes. So, episode 100, I did it. I got here. We will see what happens with, you know, any older films that I missed on the list. I'll let you know, too, about the status of this podcast. I was thinking about taking a little break. We'll see. 25 and then, or no, I'm sorry, what am I saying? 50 episodes and then 50 episodes and then maybe take a little break and do the next 50, then a little break, then do the next 50. We shall see. So if I do, I will let you know, of course. But yeah. I have a movie that I might review next, but, you know, I may be taking a break, so I don't want to make you watch it if you are following along with me. But this has been real, though. Yeah, 100 episodes, and I love talking your ear off, even though I'll let you fill in the blanks. Thank you all. Have a good rest of the day. And in the meantime, get off your ass and go to the goddamn movies, okay? I don't care if, like, you have a boo-boo on your foot, okay? Limp to the theater. Nobody will judge you, okay? Everybody is scarfing popcorn down. Do you really think they're going to look at you and go, why is that little annoying person, like, limping or whatever? Like that, like Snape in Harry Potter. He's limping. No, I don't care. Just go to the movies, okay? Support your local cinema. Support your filmmakers, even if they're mean people in real life. Actually, maybe don't support them, but do you actually know them? Because social media, they just make everything so, like, over the top and clickbait, so you can't really trust or know anything. I don't really care. Just go. Go to the movies. Okay. Oh, you made it. You made it. You made it. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of I'm Reviewing Here. New episodes drop Tuesdays and Fridays. You can get this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to follow me on Instagram at I'm Reviewing Here. You can also subscribe on YouTube. New episodes drop there the same day they drop on the podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. Please leave a review if you'd like. Be mean. Be nice. Hit on me. I don't really care. Candor really, really is important to me. And, you know, it helps the podcast too. So I really hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is brought to you especially by Nervous Chuckles. That is my fake production company because I make people nervously chuckle all the time because they never know if I'm telling a joke or not. So they're always like, do I laugh? Do I not laugh? Is he serious? Is he insane? Did he get out of the loony? What's going on? So if I made you nervously chuckle, then that means that I did my job. And thank you. There is no funding for this podcast, but if you want to give me money, then hit me up. DM me. Bye-bye.